Well, good morning, church. I am more than excited about this next month, what we're going to be doing here at church. And I want you to know, if you're visiting, what we're doing, we're going through a series talking about what we believe as a church, some of the essentials. We're looking at the gospel story and our evangelical convictions, and we're taking some time looking at what prayer is. And what we're doing is we're having the sermon first, so this may jar some of you, like, what's going on? We're supposed to sing more and have more announcements and stuff, but we're having the sermon first, and then what we're going to do is we're going to respond to that in worship with song. And so we're preaching, we're here having our minds engage with truth. The natural response should be that our hearts respond in worship. Amen? Because when we see the beauty of God, we should respond in such a way. And what we're doing the next 4 or 5 weeks is this. I've got notes, sermon notes, and these are all online. Shortly, you know, Monday or Tuesday, we get them online. I'm going to be skipping most of this on this paper. And I've been trying to take a pencil. I've got a pencil here. I might be scratching stuff off as I go today. The next 4 or 5 weeks, here's what we're going to do. My sermon's going to be pretty short because we're talking about prayer. And I'm getting to the point where I'm tired of preaching about prayer. It's time to start praying, right? So it'd be silly if we just had 30 sermons on prayer and never did it. So what we're going to do is I'm going to try to keep it as short as I can, get to the points, because we need foundation, and out of that, we're going to start praying as a church. Wouldn't that be awesome? So let's get to business, right? Okay, so we're looking at prayer. Remember when Walmart was built? Anybody remember that? Remember when first Walmart was built? It was like, wow, finally a Walmart. We can get some shopping all at once, you know, get everything done. And I'll never forget that one of the first times I was there, I was walking, and my eyes were on the pavement because it was new paved, and I was like, wow, you know, fancy building. I can't imagine how much it costs. And I'm walking, and with my little kids, and we're walking. It was after church, I believe, because we lived down in the New Auburn Bloomer area, so we drove all the way up here, and that we come to church, and we had to get our shopping done, because what can you buy in New Auburn? Nothing. Okay. And so we came up here, and I was walking on the pavement, seeing the new pavement and stuff, like, oh, this is great. And I looked up, and I saw someone with a T-shirt. And usually I'm quick, I'm witty, I'm smart. And here's what the T-shirt said. Nothing fails like prayer. And as I walked, this person was coming, I was speechless. I was dumbfounded. At first I thought I read the shirt wrong. So I grabbed the guy, pinned him down, gave him a noogie. Just kidding, I didn't do that. Because I was thinking, if you want a sign from God, here it is. That's not what I did. But he walked past me, and I was in shock. I was like, how could someone even think that? Nothing fails like prayer. And I remember walking to the store, and I don't even know the day or what, you know, it was Sunday, but I don't even remember shopping. The whole time I was going, that's just, I was speechless. I didn't know what to say. And as strange and as staggering it was to me, listen, most of us on some days would wear a shirt like that. Because we pray, Lord, hear my prayer. And here it is. Be honest. How many of you have ever had an unanswered prayer? Raise your hand. Okay. And I think at times that shirt would be fitting for my attitude. And it comes down to this. Do we really believe in prayer? Do we have our minds so focused that we completely believe it? And sometimes we don't. Do we believe in the power of prayer? Oh, we have as our core value here at church. We are powered by prayer. But sometimes do we put that shirt on and say, I don't know. And sometimes I treat prayer like I did this week, my raincoat. It's raining, put it on. It's not raining, take it off. It's time to pray, let's pray. Oh, things are doing fine, so we don't need to pray right now, so we set it aside. And prayer is like a raincoat that we take on, take off, take on, take off. Or as Corrie Ten Boom, if you don't know this lady's story, find books, read them to your children and grandchildren. Here's what she says. Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? most of us treat it like a spare tire. We need it when we only need it. When the hard times come, oh, we blew that one, so now we need to pray. Or knowing God's will, is that what steers you through life? Do you treat prayer like that? Let's pray before we skip through a lot of my notes to get praying together as a church. Father, we ask today that you teach us to pray according to your will. And may our focus today be on you, not our prayers. May our focus of our life when we pray be about intimacy and our walk with you. And we know that you can and do hear our prayers. So Spirit, do your work. Amen. Amen. Last week we saw that praying in Jesus' name is more than just a phrase we toss out at the end of one of our prayers. It's something that we should pray. And praying in Jesus' name means to give Him all glory and honor. It's more than a phrase. It is a lifestyle of standing on His promises and reflecting His nature and character. And God answers our prayers when we are in line with Him, walking in His Word, staying saturated in His will. Those are the kind of prayers that God answers. When we pray the Bible, with the Bible in hand, thought about having that my sermon title today, praying with Bible in hand, we pray the language of the Father. It's one of the greatest ways to pray, is to pray Scripture. In fact, in your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. First comes Hebrews, and then the famous names, Peter, John, find your way in there. It's on page 907 if you have a Bible like mine. If not, it's on a different page. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John, I would encourage you, take 1 John chapter 4. Read through it and pray through it. It's amazing. The world in which we live, in the first couple verses, if you get caught up in watching the news all the time and staggered by it and confused by it, shut off the TV. Read the first five verses of 1 John 4. Then look at the beauty of God's love. But we're at chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 14. This verse, so important. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God. This is wonderful. That if we ask anything according to His will. So important. So many people think the name of Jesus and asking Him is a name it, claim it thing and prosperity gospel. Rubbish. No. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Isn't that wonderful? We have a God that hears us. We have a God that when we ask for bread, He doesn't give us a stone. When we ask for something, He doesn't give us a scorpion. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. God is good to us. And that is the foundation of prayer. His character, His nature, He is good. And we are to set our prayers on that which coincides with God's will. So if you want to know how to pray, keep your fingers in the Word. We ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Thus, we must know His will. So I want to just cover three things quickly, and then we're going to pray as a church. Praying with the Bible in hand helps us in these ways. First, we align our will to His will. Listen to this. God speaks today. He speaks today. And this book here is not just a collection of old stories that we are to read for our example. That is important. But He speaks to us in His Word. And when you sit with Him and you have your mind and fingers digging in this Word, His voice is right here. If you want to hear God's voice, you want to know His will, right here. And here's the problem. Most of us spend so much energy and effort on seeking the unrevealed will of God. What should I do today? Who should I marry? Those who aren't married. What kind of job should I have? Should I quit my job? What should I do about this and that? And you're seeking the unrevealed will of God, and only, let's say, 20% in His revealed will of God. Switch that percentage. Seek 80, 90% of your time seeking the revealed will of God, and I believe the unrevealed will just fall into place. We need to have our fingers in the Word and align our will with His will. God spoke in the past, and He speaks today in His Word. That's why we're evangelicals. We're crazy about this book. God actively speaks to us in the present, real time, through the words of Scripture. And one of the most important concepts about prayer is praying His will. Praying with the Bible in hand. And our prayer does not bind God's will to us. Very important. Praying does not bind God's will to our will. Lord, I pray for this with banana splits and peanut butter cookies. Amen. May it happen. No, it's not that. William Temple says this: we do not pray in order to change His will, but to bring our wills in harmony with His. And the big line I'm going to be pushing here at the end is, prayer is about submission and total surrender. That's why it's important that we need the Bible in our hands when we pray. Because we got an issue that arises. Something comes up and we wonder, Lord, what are we going to do in this problem? I've got a problem in prayer. Don't try to sort it out yourself. What is the will of God in this situation? That should be one of the first questions you ask. When it comes to voting in a year, the question should be, Lord, what is Your will? And we will pray according to that. Aligning our hearts. And often my prayer times, you know what? It's hard to find God's will when I do all the talking. It's hard to hear His voice when I keep blabbing away. That's why it's important to pray with Scripture in hand. Praying involves turning the compass of my heart to be in line with what He wills. A bunch of stuff I'm skipping over here, Psalm chapter 1. In the Bible, we hear His voice speaking authoritatively, personally to me, when I read His Word. And we listen to it and follow it. Secondly, not only do we align our will with His will, secondly, we begin to see God's truth through and in the circumstance. Because a lot of times there's a storm there, and we say, Lord, help us. But through that storm, the Lord wants to build character in us, not to take us away from that storm, but that we would walk through that with Him. We begin to see God's truth through and in the circumstance. We begin to think His thoughts, His will. And here's the big problem for me. I pray things and I don't get what I want. Trust me, when I was in high school, I wanted... it was probably a 1984 Trans Am. That would have been awesome. I got stuck with one of those little mini station wagons. Oh, that was not a cool car in high school. The Plymouth Volare was not cool, but I got it, and it was okay. And then I moved to the Dodge Aspen. They looked the same. Great. No Trans Am for me. I want something, Lord. This is really serious. As silly as that is, we have real needs. Sometimes I pray, my will be done, pretty please, Jesus. And it's sometimes out of the will of God. So here's the big question I want to look at right now. How do we understand unanswered prayer? Do we then put a t-shirt on that says, nothing fails like prayer. I'm done. I've got a serious need here, Lord. This is my request for You. Please hear my prayer. Didn't happen. I'm putting the t-shirt on. How do we understand unanswered prayer? Well, the first thing I need to do is whenever I have a question theologically, I look to Jesus. Did Jesus ever have unanswered prayer? Everyone turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. hear Jesus is before the Lord. I'd love, if maybe some time will take, in a couple years, take time and look through the section on prayer. It's powerful. But quickly, we know that he gathers with his disciples and he says, pray. And he goes off, steps aside to pray, and they fall asleep. Matthew 26. Sit here while I go and pray. Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, along with him, begin their trouble. Then he said, my soul, look at verse 38, Matthew 26. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And I know that there are some of you in this room that have tasted such sorrow, you understand that. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell to his face on the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Jesus is going to the cross. He knows what this will be. He knows that in a moment, he will be abandoned by the Father so that his children would not be abandoned. He would take the sins of the world. May this pass from me. Guess what? Because he's Jesus, the Son of God, all his prayers were answered, right? Oh, it wasn't answered. Oh, maybe it was. Listen to the prayer. My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Jesus asked for the cup to be passed, unanswered. Yet answered because he wanted more than his request. He wanted the Father's will. He saw and longed for God's will to be done in that circumstance more than his desire. And that is hard. So in reality, his prayer was answered because he didn't pray his request with a period. He had comma, but your will be done. Or look at Paul in prison. Philippians 1:19 says this, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me, he's been in prison, will turn out for my deliverance. Even though I'm in prison right now, you've been praying that I'm being released. I haven't been released yet, but this will be for God's glory and it will work out the way he wants. So when it comes to unanswered prayers, sometimes we get prayers, we pray, yes, we get that answer. Sometimes it's no. And listen to this, this is a tough one for us Americans. Many times we get no because of our sin. We have sin in our life. And the Lord's going to be like, no. And sometimes, and here's the toughest one, it's wait. In the real needs and honest expectations I have of God, sometimes, I forget at times, some answers are long-term and coming and bring about deep intimacy and trust. And often I have a certain request. Lord, help me in this need I have. And the Lord often will be, I'm going to have this long term. The answer is going to be long in coming so that you trust me more. Let me quickly say this. We recently had a medical bill come to our house that we didn't anticipate. And my wife was like, you got to be kidding me. When I went there, they said it would be this amount. Now it's double that. Wow. So she called, and then, amazing what happened, because she's a pastor's wife, her prayer was answered. They doubled what was already doubled. And I can guarantee that day, my wife cried a lot. But out of that came closer intimacy with God. And what's amazing about our Lord is, I got an envelope on my desk with just my name on it. We have enough money the day before she made the phone call to pay for that. Even though that day was hard for her, she cried a lot. And it's not even being answered. It's being doubled and doubled again. Lord, what? And the Lord wants intimacy, sometimes more than answering our prayers at that moment. Sometimes it's long waiting. It's like this. I'm a Wisconsin boy, and I like trucks. When I first got my first truck, I was like, yeah. I'm not talking about a matchbox car. I got my first truck, and I was happy. I'm like, man, I'm always going to have a truck. And just when we got back to Wisconsin, my one daughter, the youngest, was like, we're going to go to some place, and we have two vehicles, and the question is, which vehicle do you want to go into? And of course, you're going to say, the truck, because it's Daddy's truck. And shortly after that, my daughter said, Dad, can I have a truck? I want to drive a truck. Of course, what kid wouldn't want a truck, right? Four-wheel drive, it's got mud on it, it's awesome. I can drive through the woods. I don't treat it like a Trans Am where I won't get scratched, and I'm going to bust through the trees if I need to, right? It's a truck. My daughter sees me with that attitude and like, yeah, I want a truck. What is my answer to my daughter? Do I love my daughter? Absolutely. Do I want to care for her, give her the best things? Absolutely. When my daughter, who's 4 years old, says, Dad, give me a truck, what's my answer? No. You're not ready for one. And I'm going to take care of this truck, and someday when you're old enough, I might pass it on to you, and it'll be like, I got Dad's truck. It's awesome. Often the Lord says, wait, because we're not ready. We're not ready for it. Like a child asking for a truck, any father knows the child is too young, too early in their development, and the answer is no. It's for the child's best interest. Can you imagine if she says, I want a truck. Here you go. Here's the keys. Drive it. We'll be in the hospital in a few minutes, right? She's not ready for it. And often, unanswered prayer is about growing in our development, in our walk with God Almighty. Thus, what seems to be unanswered prayers, listen to this, may be really answered in His timing for our growth and intimacy with Him. And here's often what echoes in my heart when I say, Lord, I need this now. And the Lord speaks softly with something like this. Do you want me more than the request you are asking? Wait on me. Wait on me. And often I want the request more than I want Him. Or what has shaped me so much in prayer, given by, in a poetic way, by an old saint, an old Christian humble man. We pray for real needs and truly ask God to meet us, and we want answers the way we want. And it's often like this. I have it up here. Listen to this great thing. I ask for strength that I might achieve. Who wants to achieve for the kingdom of God? I want to do great things. I want to achieve. I was made weak that I might learn to obey. Wouldn't you want that more? I ask for health that I might do great things. I'm strong and young. Let's do mighty things for you, Lord. I was given infirmity, sickness, that I might do better things. I ask for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I ask for power that I might have the praise of men. Here's my favorite line. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. Let me pause here. It might be very possible in your life that you have weakness, sickness, troubles, so that you would have the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. Amen. I received nothing I asked for yet. Everything I hope for, my prayers were answered. Child of God, praying is not about prayer. In fact, one of my teachers said, Cody, God doesn't answer prayer, He answers people. Oh. And in your prayer is your desire to be more intimate with God. Some people pray just to pray, and some people pray to know God. Andrew Murray. Let me say that again. Some people pray just to pray, and some people pray to know God. Andrew Murray. So here's how I pray. Here's my listing. Do I pray for healing? Absolutely. Yes, but more that that person would know the healer, our refuge and strength. And I have Psalm 42. And seek his will. Do I pray that life would come to your pressed and perplexed spirit? Absolutely. But more that you would know that you are not abandoned. 2 Corinthians 4:8. And that you would know that God is with you. Do I pray for freedom from bondage of fear and anxiety? There's a lot of you that have anxiety and fear. Yes, I pray for freedom of that. But more that by his Spirit he affirms that you are his child. You no longer are a slave to fear, but you can cry, Abba, Father. Intimacy. Do I pray that you would be, that you would not be overcome by your destructive habits and addictive desires that you have? Absolutely. But more, that he does not want you to be in that, and that his will is that you would be free. It's for freedom he freed us. Amen? And that you'd be growing more and more like Christ. In fact, I found in Scripture, this is the only place I find, it is God's will. You want to know God's will? This passage right here, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. One of the only places that it plainly says, this is God's will, that you be sanctified, more like Christ. This is how we pray with Scripture in hand, lining our, do I want for healing? Absolutely. I turn to passages, and I pray more that we would know the healer in this situation. And praying Scripture keeps our thoughts captive to God's truth and his will and his character, and that our minds would be obedient to Christ. And that's how we pray for God's will. So here's this question then. If God is totally in control and he has a will, why do we pray and how do we pray God's will? If God has a certain plan and a certain process, healing may come in a long time. It may come at the final revelation of Christ. It may come in our death. Then we're at the ultimate healing. I'm not sure. How do we pray God's will? And why do we have to pray? God calls us to pray. And because praying is really not about praying, it's about intimacy with God. And he has ordained, not in all things, but in many things, prayer the means in which he fulfills his will. So how do we pray for God's will? The best answer I've seen is in Scripture. How do we pray for God's will? It's not a fatalistic attitude. What will be, will be. God, you're the great puppeteer, and just move my arms the way it's going to be. God, you're so sovereign. I'm just going to, there's fate, and I just throw my hands up. There's nothing I can do, so just do it. Is that praying God's will? Not at all. Or you don't have to be passive about it. And here's the popular phrase we have in a lot of things. It is what it is. How many of you ever said that before? It is what it is. And sometimes, not always, there's almost this passiveness. Golly gee willikers, Lord, it is what it is. There's nothing I can do. It's almost mixed up with a mysticism and contemplative prayer aspect of like, okay, Lord, I'm just waiting it on you. No, that's not praying God's will. Write this down. Listen to this. Prayer is not a passive submission to God's will, but an active persistence that his will prevail over all things. Amen? It's not passively going, oh, whatever, Lord. Oh, no, it's actively saying, God, I know your will. It's in Scripture, and I believe your will prevail over all things. I can't wait for next election time when we as a church pray. Imagine if we prayed like that when it came to election. His will prevail over all things because he is God. Love this line. Someone wrote, prayer, though it comes from the heart of an unlearned child of God, can suspend the laws of the universe if such be God's will, just as the sun stood still in Joshua. Praying God's will is not a passive submission, but an active persistence that his will prevail over all things. Amen? And lastly, praying with the Bible in hand. Here it is. It helps us praying God's will is really about total surrender. Not my will, O Lord, but your will be done. Your will be done. I remember when I was in Bolivia, South America, central country. No one knows where it is unless you look at a map. Oh, that's where that little country is. Everyone knows where Brazil is and Argentina and Chile and all these. I was in there. This is like my fifth time going down there. And just because I like food, I eat all the food. Oh, I love the food. But I stay away from street food because you'll get sick. We go to this place called the Cowboy Restaurant. I call it the Cowboy Restaurant. They call it something in Spanish. But they got cowboy hats and, you know, all this cool. They got steaks and it's just awesome food there. I love going there. We go there and celebrate. And we get these little things. They call them empanadas. They're little fried little with dough, and they put cheese and chili in there, and they fry them, and they're just so yummy, and they're good because they're cheese. I'm a Wisconsin boy. I like cheese. I call them baby Oompa Loompas. I don't know why. Empanadas, Oompa Loompa. I like changing names. So I'm like, give me 13 Oompa Loompas. And I'm there with my friends, French fries, Oompa Loompas going down. I'm just, this is great. I'm a fool. I have to preach that night. And I remember we pull up to this little church, Pastor Juan's church, and I'm supposed to preach there. And I've just been just gouging myself like a fool on empanadas, baby Oompa Loompas, and I'm just woofing these things down. And I'm just not feeling good. They're just full, you know, grease and cheese. I'm just like, what was I thinking? And I'm like, all right, team, you go. You start singing. You start praising the Lord. And I'm just gonna lay here. And I'm in this little bus, the micro. I'm like, Lord, I'm just gonna pray. And I'm gonna come up and preach. And I said, Eric, if I'm not there, you preach for me. I'll never forget grabbing the trash can and just going, Lord, help me. And I am just going, Lord, I've got to preach your word. I get to do amazing things for you. Help me do this, Lord. Heal me right now. And I begin to be broken. I begin crying. No one else is around. And I just become unglued before the Lord. Do you ever get like that? I'm going, God, why is this now? Why now? And I begin to weep. And instead of me throwing up, it's being filled with tears. And I start to heave to get stuff out. You know how you're like, get it out of me so I feel better. Only drool and tears. And after 10 minutes of my stomach torn in knots, I'm no more tears. I'm done. On my knees in this little bus, broken, no more tears, no more stomach acids to come out because I'm trying all I can, I realize this is the greatest place for a preacher to be before he preaches his word. Broken, total surrender. God, whatever your will is, I accept it. And just like that, pain was gone. I wiped my face from all my snot and tears. Okay, here I go. I'm shaking. And I walk up there and I preached a sermon. All about him, not about me. The rest of the 4 days, every moment, my stomach was in knots. I'm like, Lord, help me. I depend on you, God. I need your strength. And he would give me strength. And it was just amazing how the Lord would work in wonderful ways. And I'll never forget, on the fourth day, I'm in the bus. We're going to the next place where I'm to preach. And I'm just going, Lord, I need you. I'm dependent. Help me, Lord. A tear starts coming out. And I go, wait a second. I'm not even sick. And I'm praying this. And I was like, Lord, may I always be like that. When I'm sick or when I'm not, may I be completely dependent, total surrender on God's will. God, I want your will more than my will. And my will may it line up with your will. And that is praying the will of God. And out of this, broken people, broken vessels, he shines in mighty ways. When you begin to pray, God, your will, not mine. After that moment in Bolivia, I did my best to, every time I preached for 2 years, put a little pail next to somewhere where no one would see it. To remind me, You may not be sick right now, but you need total dependence. Better be that I walk up here, slip, and break my neck if I don't have total dependence on God, right? Every sermon should be total dependence. Every breath, total dependence. On my day off, total dependence on God Almighty. Amen?